Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You got two eyes of lovely blue.
Continue, Lou.
A pug knows I could go for two. Though you're the best of all the batch, 'tain't no use, son, 'cause your socks don't match.
Thanks for tuning in to Total Information AM Sunday. It is time to talk with Johnny Rabbit. We were talking about socks earlier, Johnny, with my chat with Stu Mac. Are you a big socks guy or no?
Well, no.
No?
No.
Just bare feet?
Yeah, that's all. What all the? Right. That's pretty funny, actually. Right. That would be a very strange sight to see.
Yeah. Well, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Scott. I think this episode takes us back many yesteryears to one of our most asked about places of the past, Gaslight Square. Well, for a few minutes here in the present, we'll tell you the origins of the square, and once in a while, we'll fill the air with chapters about the lifespan of the square. It lasted just 23 years. That's it. The start of what would morph into Gaslight dates to 1953, when Dick and Paul Mutro opened the eclectic drinking and music room, the Gaslight Bar, 457 North Boyle, in the circa 1904 Musical Arts Building. That was in the southwest corner of Boyle and Olive. That odd location at the time was that the building was owned by his family, making the price right for his interesting adventure venture. And that the old place also had been a hub of musical arts here for decades, way before the area got the nickname of Greenwich Corners, and Gaslight Square's name was still a few years off. Let's fast forward 19 years to August 1972. The square died. It ceased to be, with Jack Parker closing his O'Connell's Irish Pub and Boyle and moving World's Fair Chandeliers London Broil, Irish Coffee and all, to Shaw and South Kings Highway. It's there today, exuding the essence of Gaslight, though sadly, Jack is no longer with us. Now, we put our rabbit time machine in reverse to return to when that bohemian Gaslight Bar was created. It was designed to attract the intelligentsia, the beat generation, the artsy, and not the run-of-the-hill neighborhood tavern folks. Soon, the district got the nickname Greenwich Corners for New York's Greenwich Village. It was made up of antique shop, oriental rug dealers, music and voice teachers, apartment dwellers, a couple of taverns, a drugstore, dry cleaner and a laundry called Hop Key, and several junk and secondhand furniture stores that would move their wares right up to the sidewalk, especially on Saturday and Sunday. Some of those items sitting on the sidewalk were chandeliers, newel posts, fireplace mantels, statuary, pocket doors, stained glass windows. A lot of people didn't want this old stuff that came from homes and buildings that had been done away with in the name of urban renewal, also to clear the way for highways. But the stuff was from places like Vandeventer Place, the Merchants Exchange, the Sella family's original American Theater and Hotel in Market Street, and Mill Creek Valley. Boy, that place was wiped out. Well, a large amount of such architectural items were stored by people who felt they might come in handy to decorate places such as restaurants, cocktail lounges, etc., for those interested in remembering old St. Louis. For some, the initial area to be considered for such a concept as Gaslight Square was not Boyle and Olive, it was Grand and Olive, the theater district now called Grand Center. And that Boyle and Olive area was considered dull and dead. At Grand, there were crowds going to the movies at the Schubert, the Fox, the Empress, the Missouri, and the St. Louis theaters. Busy office buildings like the University Club, Beaumont Medical Building, the Humboldt and Continental Buildings. And retail, yeah, a lot of retail shops. They included Works, Lady Store, Downs Men's Shop, Woolworths, both the Mavrocos and Hers candy shops, Shar's Office Supplies, there was a Walgreens, and places like Sports Bowl Bowling Alley. Restaurants, there were plenty, including two Garavelli's Buffets, the Peach Garden, the Sea Isle, and three cafeterias, Thompson's, Pope's, and the Southern in the Missouri Theater Office Building. There, too, was the Melbourne Hotel at Grand and Lindell and the Coronado, a block west on Spring, as well as apartment buildings like the Daniel Boone and the Lindell Towers. With all this activity and being a crossroads of public transit, with Sportsman's Park not all that far north of Grand and St. Louis University right there, it seemed an avant-garde bar and theatrical venue would be great. It would do wonderfully. So in 1952, Jay and Fran and Gene and Fred Landisman opened their first Crystal Palace Bar and Theater at 3516 Olive, a half block east of Grand. The space had been a club called Dante's Inferno, and it was next door to the El Serape Mexican restaurant owned by the noted Janie Cruz. But those big crowds in the area didn't translate to big business, and the first Crystal Palace fizzled. So in 1958, they moved west to 4240 Olive, where it seemed their type of offbeat theater, such as the play Waiting for Godot, would be more welcome. They were right, as the new Crystal Palace was a sensational hit. It was the talk of the town and the heart of this new, rapidly developing entertainment district. Other adventuresome entrepreneurs like Jimmy Masucci, dubbed the world's first environmental engineer, opened places like the Cellar Door and Vanity Fair. That Boyle and Olive District was a good choice, too. Is there a lot of old commercial and apartment buildings that could be bought, leased, or rented for peanuts, then transformed to the ambience of the Gilded Age, which was the time from the Civil War to the early days of the 20th century. The origin of the term Gilded Age is credited to Mark Twain's book, The Gilded Age, A Tale of Today. The architectural residue to create these new nightlife ventures were plentiful and available for very little money, hidden away in places like a long-closed new Grand Central Theater, northeast corner of Grand and Lucas. That's a longtime vacant lot next to Powell Hall, which soon will be the home to the new Powell Lobby. The old theater had been closed since 1931, and artifact collectors since then had packed the theater's orchestra level, balconies, boxes, lobby, basement, and backstage with their treasures, all sharing the space with mounds of the theater's 2,500 seats that are still there and lots of obsolete movie equipment. Even a ghost. Well, that ghost story must wait. And we've got to wait to tell more about the square. Sometime in May, we'll take you up to when the square really started. But what's going on right now? The guy who knows all and will tell all right now doesn't even have a crystal ball for him. I'm talking about he right there. It's Scott Jago. Welcome back, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.